All right, let's read from Jonah chapter 3, starting at verse 6. When Jonah's warning reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, took off his royal robes, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat down in the dust. This is the proclamation he issued in Nineveh. By the decree of the king and his nobles, do not let people or animals, herds or flocks taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink. But let people and animals be covered with sackcloth. Let everyone call urgently on God. Let them give up their evil ways and their violence. Who knows? God may yet relent and with compassion turn from his fierce anger so that we will not perish. When God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he relented and did not bring on them the destruction he had threatened. But to Jonah, this seemed very wrong, and he became angry. He prayed to the Lord, "Isn't this what I said, Lord, when I was still at home? This is what I tried to forestall by fleeing to Tarshish. I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity." And we'll leave the story there. This week I watched some videos of people being interviewed on the street, being asked the question, "What do you think God is like?" As you might expect, there was a lot of variety in how people answered. A couple of people said they really had no idea. One woman added, "Well, I guess we'll just have to wait and see." One man described God as an incomprehensible white light. Another simply said, "God is love." Quite a few people described God as being very kind, very caring. They spoke of how he accepts everyone for who they are. What I found particularly interesting was that no one described God as angry or judgmental or seeking vengeance against sinners. I was struck by that because not so long ago in our society, that's how many people tended to think about God. I wonder if this idea of a holy, angry God is less common in Australia today because more and more people are growing up without going to church, without the Bible. And so more and more people are simply choosing their own path in life, creating their own version of spirituality and hoping that if there is a God, he really is very kind and accepting and will just take them how they are. The question is that right? With all these different ideas out there about God, how do we discover the truth about what he's like? Is there even objective truth about God, or is it just your opinion and my opinion and the next person's opinion? Well, that's what we've been trying to work out in our current sermon series, the Heart of the Lord. We're turning to the Bible to let God himself tell us what he's like. And in particular, we're looking at some beautiful verses in Exodus 34, where God describes his deepest character. God unzips his chest and shows us his heart. This is how God describes himself. The Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands and forgiving wickedness, rebellion and sin, yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished. Now, in previous weeks, Jack has helped us see how the Lord is compassionate and gracious. And if you missed those sermons, go and check them out. They're such beautiful reflections on God's grace. This evening, we now want to focus on how the Lord is slow to anger. The Lord, or Yahweh, as the Hebrew name there is often pronounced, Yahweh is slow to anger. As we think about what it means for Yahweh to be slow to anger, the first thing we need to notice is that he does, in fact, get angry. We've got to notice that. It doesn't say, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God who never gets angry. No, it says he is slow to anger. Now, in a moment, we'll talk about the slowness, but first we need to talk about the anger. Now, when you and I think about getting angry, we often think about holding ourselves back from something bad, right? Trying not to lose our tempers and lash out because we know we shouldn't. But when the Bible talks about God's anger, it's actually talking about something good. Something righteous. I actually had an experience of righteous anger not so long ago. I was watching my kids playing with a bunch of other kids, and my eyes came to rest on my 2-year-old daughter. A handful of boys had gathered around her. They were all a few years older than her. And then one of the boys lifted up the dress that my daughter was wearing. And together they pointed their fingers and they laughed and they teased her for wearing a nappy. She protested. She tried to move away. They continued to hold up her dress and laugh at her. Now let me tell you, my protective dad instincts went into overdrive and my blood boiled. And I ran over to her as fast as I could. And as I ran, I yelled at them to stop. I spoke sternly to those boys and I said, "Don't you ever treat a girl like that again." And then I scooped up my daughter in my arms and checked if she was okay. In that moment, I felt an intense sense of the evil of our world and the need for justice. I felt anger, and I think mostly it was righteous anger. And it was just a tiny glimpse of what God's anger is like. How does God respond when he sees all the cruelty and the wickedness in our world? When he sees people mocking and insulting him and each other, he responds with anger. And so he should. I mean, if he didn't, would he actually be a good God? Would I have been a good dad if I'd just been like, "She'll be right. Welcome to the world, sweetheart." No. Don't we want a God who cares when women and children are molested? Don't we need a God who cares when politicians think they can just use their power and abuse the vulnerable in the process? A God who cares about the hundreds of times when I have been too selfish to even care about him and his glory and his commands. Of course God should care about these things. Of course he should get angry about the sin in our world and in my heart and in your heart. And so we shouldn't be surprised to read in Romans 1, the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. And then in the next chapter, Paul speaks about the day of God's wrath, when his righteous judgment will be revealed. God will repay each person according to what they have done. The Bible clearly talks about these things again and again. It's very clear in Scripture. God is righteous and good. And so he is opposed to evil and wickedness. And one day he will deal with it once and for all. And so as we try to understand what is God like, we need to be honest about his anger. It is real. and it is right. Perhaps some of us need to go away and think and pray about this some more. Perhaps it's time that we stop skimming over those verses in the Bible that talk about God's anger and his judgment. Perhaps we need to humble ourselves and submit to God as he really is, not as the God we would like to invent, this kind of relaxed, chilled out grandfather who just goes with the flow and accepts people however. Friends, God's anger is real and it is right. But that is not all that there is to say about God's anger. It's not even the most important thing to say about God's anger, because the whole point of God's self-revelation here in Exodus 34 is not to tell us that he's angry about sin, but to tell us that he is slow to get angry about sin. The Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger. This is what we want to think about next. We've spoken about God's anger. We've seen that his anger is good. But now as we turn our attention to God's patience, we see that his patience is great. God's anger is good, but his patience is great. Now, fun fact, the first half of the Bible is written in a language called Hebrew, ancient Hebrew. One of the Hebrew phrases for anger literally means his nose burned hot. Right? So, for example, when Potiphar thought that Joseph had tried to sleep with his wife, it says that Potiphar's nose burned hot. In other words, he got red in the face. He got really angry. Now, the Hebrew phrase for slow to anger literally means long of nose. If you're long of nose and it takes longer for your nose to turn red, it means you are slow to get angry. It means you're patient. And friends, our God is a patient God. Specifically in his response to sin and to evil, the Lord is slow to get angry. Yes, he will get angry eventually. Yes, he will deal with sin eventually, but not quickly. Now, I don't know about you, but I find that quite extraordinary. I might have kidded myself that I was patient until I became a dad. I try to be patient, but it is a struggle. I try to give my kids a second chance, a second warning before I take further action. Maybe even a third. But it's hard. And isn't it even harder to be patient when the offense is personal? We try to be patient. We try to be forgiving. We may even manage to forgive someone for the same offense 5 times, or 6 or 7. But Jesus calls us to forgive 77 times, or 70 times 7 times. That's just crazy, isn't it? Who could be as patient as that? Well, the Lord is. And here's the thing. Here is the thing I really want us to grasp this afternoon. God doesn't just show patience reluctantly. No, he shows patience eagerly and joyfully out of the very depths of his heart. I think we quite often think of patience as a kind of frustrated holding back because I have to, even though I don't want to. I'd love to give them a taste of my mind, but I won't. I want to give them their just desserts, but I'll hold myself back. Friends, God's patience isn't like that, because God wants to hold back. He wants to relent. He loves being patient. He doesn't say, oh, well, I'm God, So I guess I better be patient. Because that's what God does. No, patience is his joy. Patience bubbles up and flows freely from him. It is anger which comes more slowly. It is anger which needs to be provoked through deed after deed of disobedience, through year after year of stubbornness and hard-heartedness to God. We see many examples in the Bible of how God loves to be patient. Maybe you can think of some. Think of how God delayed his punishment of the Canaanites. He said to Abraham, "The sin of the Amorites has not yet reached its full measure." Genesis 15. Think of how many chances God gave to Pharaoh when he was refusing to let God's people leave Egypt. 10 plagues, 10 chances to repent. Or think of God's patience with his people Israel. They'd moved into the land and they turned away to worship idols. Did you know he put up with them for 300 years before he eventually sent them into exile? Think too of the amazing story of Jonah, which we read from just before. God told Jonah, "Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it because its wickedness has come up before me." Now don't forget, these Ninevites weren't even God's covenant people. God owed them nothing. He could have just wiped them out, but instead he sent a prophet to warn them. You might remember, kids, do you remember what Jonah tried to do? Yeah, how he tried to get out of the job God gave him. But eventually he went and he preached in Nineveh and the whole city repented. The king of Nineveh said, "Who knows? God may yet relent and with compassion turn from his fierce anger so that we will not perish." Next verse, "Indeed, when God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he relented and did not bring on them the destruction he had threatened." Again, do you see the heart of the Lord? Notice how he loves to relent. It's what he wants to do. God's anger crawls, but his mercy runs. His anger is gradual, but his kindness is immediate. His anger is restrained, but his grace is lavish. The Bible is full of so many examples of God's patience, but surely the greatest example is Jesus Christ. Just the fact that Jesus didn't come with an army of angels to wipe us off the face of the earth is astonishing. After thousands of years of human rebellion, what does God do? He sends his own precious son, not to kill us, but to be killed by us. Imagine the patience Jesus had to display over those 33 years on earth, bearing with his arrogant brothers and his bumbling disciples, with the crooked religious leaders of the day, and those crowds who were more interested in being entertained and fed with magic bread than with having a relationship with God. And then what patience he displayed as he was arrested and mistried and flogged and mocked and crucified. But you know, it was in that moment that it happened. It was then, on that cross, that the Son of God took all the anger of the loving Father on himself. The Lord had been patiently storing up his anger for thousands of years. Adam's sin had gone unpunished. Eve's sin had gone unpunished. Abraham's sin had gone unpunished. King David's sin had gone unpunished. Nineveh's sin had gone unpunished. All that righteous anger had been patiently, lovingly held back by the Lord until that dark, deadly afternoon when the dam of God's anger finally broke and it flooded onto his own dear son. In Romans 3, Paul puts it like this: God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood to be received by faith. He did this to demonstrate his righteousness because in his forbearance, in his patience, he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate his righteousness at the present time so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. Do you know what that means for you and me? It means that if we turn to Jesus, God's anger toward us is not just delayed, it's gone. God's anger is not just slowed, it's removed. It means that when you sin tomorrow, God will not be angry with you because all your sins, past, present, future, have already been paid for by Jesus on the cross. All God's anger has already been taken away. So what's left for us? Only patience. Only blessing, only love, only grace. You may be struggling with a stubborn sin right now. You may be frustrated that you haven't made more progress in your Christian life. You may be worried that God is annoyed at you. If so, dear friend, please remember the patience of the Lord. Don't hold back from God, worrying that you're a nuisance to him like a bad smell or a buzzing fly. Remember that he delights to show patience. It's his favorite thing to do. So draw close to him again with confidence. Celebrate that he will always be patient with you all the way until he has completed the good work that he began in you. Perhaps you've been straying from the Lord. Perhaps you've been going your own way for years now. Perhaps you've never even really ever turned from your sin to follow the Lord. If so, then won't you rejoice in the patience of the Lord? How magnificent that for all these years of your life, he has slowed his anger toward you. Not reluctantly, but eagerly. Because his heart is full of love for you. And now won't you hear the Lord calling you just as he called to his people through the prophet Joel? Even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning. Rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love, and he relents from sending calamity. God's patience is amazing, isn't it? The thing that shocks us when we read the Bible carefully is not that God gets angry, but that God is so slow to get angry. And you know, Jonah actually really struggled to accept this, didn't he? God had mercy on Nineveh, but then we read, but to Jonah this seemed very wrong. And he became angry. He prayed to the Lord, isn't this what I said, Lord, when I was still at home? That is what I tried to forestall by fleeing to Tarshish. I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. Have you ever felt like this? Felt like Jonah? Have you ever felt that God is being so patient that it almost seems wrong to you? Sometimes the Lord's slowness to become angry actually makes us angry. How can he tolerate those terrorists? those wars, those dictatorships. We find ourselves crying out, how long, Lord? Do you care, Lord? I mean, Jesus went back up to heaven like 2,000 years ago, Lord. So when are you going to come again and make all things new? It's not wrong to ask those questions, pray those prayers. Actually, the Psalms are full of them. But if we are going to be the people of the patient God, then we also need to learn patience. We need to remember that God has his reasons for delaying. Peter explains this in 2 Peter 3. Yes, Peter says, judgment day really is coming, but do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years. And 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Why is God so patient? Because he doesn't want anyone to perish. He wants everyone to come to repentance. 1 Timothy 2 says something similar. God wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. You can trace these themes through the Old Testament too. For example, just one example, Ezekiel 18, where God says, I take no pleasure in the death of anyone, declares the sovereign Lord. Repent and live. Oh, that our hearts would be more like the heart of the Lord. If only our noses were as long as God's nose. Showing generous patience when people sin against us. Loving even our enemies. Longing to see them find salvation in Jesus as well. I wonder how our prayers, how our calendars would look different if our hearts were more like this. Well, we began by talking about the different ideas of what people think God is like. But you know, after looking at what God says about himself in Exodus 34, I'm struck by the fact that God is actually far more complex and marvelous and glorious than any of the ideas we could have come up with on our own. Don't you think? His anger is good, but his patience is great. His anger against sin is righteous, but how beautiful to learn that God doesn't delight in punishing sinners. He doesn't. He doesn't find joy in giving the death sentence. His great joy, his great desire is to relent and show mercy. Praise the Lord, he is slow to anger. I hope that this week you'll delight yourself in God's patience. Find yourself thinking about it. I hope that if you've been wandering, you'll return to your patient God and find mercy. I hope that if you've been discouraged by your sins and your shortcomings, you'll return to your patient God and find reassurance. And I hope that if you've been wondering why God isn't dealing with the evil in our world, that you'll return to your patient God and learn to love the lost just as he does, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Let's pray and praise God now. Lord God, we praise you because you're slow to anger. We acknowledge that your anger is righteous, unlike ours. And we thank you that you care about evil and injustice and sin. But even more than this, Lord, we thank you that you are slow to anger and you actually love to relent and have mercy. And thank you that you made a way for this to happen through Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for taking all the wrath we deserve, so that for us there is no more anger, no more judgment, only blessing, only patience. We pray that every one of us can claim this and enjoy this. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.